there's a proposal circulating in the Wisconsin legislature that would lift the current moratorium on nuclear power plants in Wisconsin. Lifting that ban was one of Governor Scott Walker's campaign promises when he first ran in 2010.
Advocates say that new nuclear power plants are a necessary step for Wisconsin to meet the EPA's clean energy mandates for the state. Critics say there are faster, cheaper, and safer methods for Wisconsin to comply with the Environmental Protection Agency's Clean Power Plan.
Gary Radloff joins us now. He's a researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and the director of the Midwest Energy Policy Analysis for the Wisconsin Energy Institute. And he's an honorary associate fellow with the Nelson Institute Center for Sustainability and the Global Environment. Gary, good to have you with us.
Good to be with you.
Well, let's start by running through the various ways energy is currently generated in Wisconsin today.
Well, we are primarily still a what's called a baseload coal generation state, which is, you know, large coal generation facilities. We have had for some time nuclear power in place. We did have one plant in Kewaunee that was closed, but we still have one at Point Beach. Then we use a variety of other sources that are kind of smaller in number in terms of wind, solar, hydro, and biomass.
And so looking at those energy sources, which ones is Wisconsin looking to build upon to reduce its reliance on coal?
Well, I think for most utilities, there's an attraction to using natural gas. It still fits in sort of with their business model of baseload generation from large facilities. You know, when we had the renewable portfolio standard, which was a legislative renewable energy mandate, wind energy and biomass energy were the attractive renewable sources primarily.
And looking at the cost of energy generation, how much it's going to cost to develop some of these, how would you rank those clean energy sources?
Well, you have your legacy system is always going to be cost effective initially because investments have been made. The system has been built around those. And so, you know, utilities are smart businesses, and they've gotten that to be a cost-effective way to deliver energy.
And when you're talking about legacy systems, are you talking coal?
Primarily coal, that's correct. And then, but with what's been occurring in recent years is with the development of solar and wind, the technology costs have really come down dramatically over the last certainly 10 years and really declined a lot in the last 5 years. So in more and more segments of the country, they are becoming cost competitive. Again, I would say existing sources still would be a little cheaper, depending on the type of analysis you do for cost.
Now, the debate over the Environmental Protection Agency's new clean power plan is still ongoing, but as we understand it now, as it's meant to be implemented in our state, what does that mean for Wisconsin?
Well, right now, based on analysis done by the Environmental Protection Agency, Wisconsin definitely would have to reduce the amount of energy it gets from these what I called coal-based load plants. Greenhouse gas emissions are what they're trying to regulate, and they come primarily from these legacy coal plants. So they're going to have to look at ways to bring those numbers down and come into compliance. The federal law requires that the power sector reduce their CO2 emissions by 32% by 2030. So there is a fairly long timeline, but still it's in the energy world, that would be pretty aggressive.
Do we have a price tag on the cost of getting to that 32% by 2030?
Well, there's a lot of debate about what it would cost. You know, unfortunately, we have sort of conflicting reports out there on what it would cost. The EPA numbers, which I think one has to trust that they tried to give it their best estimate, is for the United States, it would cost between $7.3 and $8.8 billion to implement this plan. But there obviously are many environmental and public health benefits to make that worthwhile.
We're talking with Gary Radloff right now, a researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and director of the Midwest Energy Policy Analysis for the Wisconsin Energy Institute. And we're talking about what Wisconsin's options are for meeting the requirements of the EPA's Clean Power Plan. And let's get to that that nuclear energy issue. Now, right now, there's a moratorium on building new nuclear reactors in Wisconsin. When was that ban first put into place?
Now I am trying to remember when that first came into place, but it certainly has been over over a decade now.
And why?
Well, I think a lot of it stems back to initial problems with nuclear power, whether it was Chernobyl or any type of accident that occurred, so those were the real drivers.
Now, you mentioned nuclear plants in Kewaunee. That one shut down. You said Point Beach, and I believe that one is currently active. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And Dairyland Power Cooperative. How much energy do they generate?
I believe right now in Wisconsin, about 13% of our electric supply comes from nuclear energy. When the Kewaunee plant was running, that was around 22%.
And if this moratorium were lifted, how likely do you think it would be that there would be in the near future viable new sources of nuclear energy in Wisconsin?
I think there's going to be quite a time lag. First off, I believe the last time I heard building a nuclear plant, it took almost 10 years to build. And you're starting first with a fairly complex set of permits required, siting, along with construction. But the other big factor is cost, really only a couple of nuclear plants have been built in recent years, primarily due to the cost of construction.
Well, let's put aside the question of whether it's the right thing to do to build nuclear power, to use nuclear power. Could the existing plants, the Point Beach and Dairyland Power, could they just produce more power if necessary?
I would guess that they're running at a fairly high capacity, so there might be some additional power that could be generated, but I don't think that's enough. It's going to be a significant change.
So critics of nuclear power have said it's expensive to do. It's prohibitively expensive. Just how expensive would it be to build a new reactor?
Well, again, that's tough because the cost just keeps going up almost every year. We're looking at a cost I think between 2002 and 2008, it was $2 billion to $4 billion per unit. That went up to $9 billion by 2009. I haven't seen the most recent figures, but it continues to go up a tremendous amount, and so the problem is even worse in terms of cost overruns for these facilities. I believe there was a couple of facilities that have been built down south, and both have experienced cost overruns, and this is true also even in Great Britain, where they've been building some new plants as well. So the costs just keep going up to build these facilities.
And supporters of nuclear power say that the technology has changed and improved over the last decade or two so that it could possibly be more cost-effective, maybe answering some of those price questions. Is that your impression as well?
Well, research continues in this area, and I think, excuse me, there's always reason for optimism that the cost could come down or that the technology changed. One of the things that's being looked at are much smaller nuclear reactor facilities. And so clearly the cost for those would be much cheaper than a very large baseload type plant.
Again, looking at this legislation that's recently been introduced in both houses of the state legislature that would allow construction of new nuclear reactors in Wisconsin, as an energy policy analyst, what strikes you about that?
Well, I can't completely speak to their motivations, but if they're basically saying they want all of the options on the table for the future, particularly as we look to reduce carbon-generating energy, reduce greenhouse gases to comply with the Clean Power Plan, nuclear power does fall into that clean energy category. So the argument certainly could be made that you're keeping your options open, expanding your portfolio, however you want to phrase that.
We're talking with Gary Radloff right now, researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and the director of Midwest Energy Policy Analysis for the Wisconsin Energy Institute. And we're talking about how Wisconsin might meet the EPA's requirement for the new clean power plan and looking at this new legislation, which could lift a moratorium on nuclear power in Wisconsin.
And we want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. If Wisconsin needs to increase its production of clean energy, what kinds of energy should the state invest in? What should utilities prioritize to meet those goals? And what do you think about the idea of nuclear energy being part of that answer of ending the state's effective ban on new nuclear power plant construction? Do you think that technology is advanced enough now to be safe and efficient? Or do you think that there's nothing that could sway you to support new nuclear power plants in Wisconsin? If not nuclear, then what? Which option would you push for? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We continue our conversation now with Gary Radloff, a researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and director of the Midwest Energy Policy Analysis for the Wisconsin Energy Institute. And we're talking about what Wisconsin needs to do to meet EPA clean energy mandates and whether or not nuclear power could be an option.
We'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If Wisconsin needs to boost production of clean energy, how should we do it? What kind of things should we invest in? Utilities, the government, what kind of policies should we have? Does it matter to you how they're paid for? Taxes or through utility costs? And what about the nuclear option, nuclear energy? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers now. We've got Kurt on the line in Milwaukee. Kurt, hi.
Hi. I wanted to ask the guest how much wind and solar output could be purchased with that same, I believe it was $9 billion that he quoted for a new nuclear facility.
All right, Kurt, thank you for that. And Gary, let's compare apples to apples if we can, not quite the same thing, but in terms of what buying power, what would that buy?
Well, you could approach it a number of ways. The utility could build facilities themselves, so they would build, in essence, a solar farm or a wind farm, if you will, where they would have, a large amount of generated capacity. Or you can purchase power under what are called power purchase agreements. So, for example, the state of Iowa has a much better wind production capacity, and so Wisconsin utilities have purchased renewable wind through from states like that. So you could certainly purchase a lot, or you could build your own facilities and then build that into your rate structure.
And Gary, what about the timeline? How long would it take to get the solar and the wind power in place, maybe $8 or $9 billion worth, versus the time scale we're talking about for a nuclear reactor?
Well, certainly much faster. Again, nuclear plants have faced very long timelines. Again, like I last heard, about 10 years on the fast track, if you will. With other types of energy, depending, again, if you were building an array of wind towers or something like that, maybe a three-year cycle to get permits and build something like that. So, again, much quicker. And then, obviously, if you are just utilizing residential solar or something like that, a very short timeline, probably less than a year.
Kurt, thanks a lot for that call. And we go next to Bob in La Crosse. Bob, hi.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. I was just wondering if the smaller plants, the nuclear plants, might be more feasible. And if you combined it with other things, because I don't think that we can provide all of what we need by wind, and I don't think we can combine everything we need by one simple source. So, maybe we can use a combination of efforts and have some smaller nuclear plants that would be safe and the technology is more advanced than what it was in the past.
Bob, thanks for that. I appreciate that. Bob, hoping to use a variety of clean energy possibilities. And I want to touch on something he got at there at the end. Are smaller plants safer, and has the technology improved in terms of safety?
I think it's, maybe a little early to say where we're at on this. I'm not a nuclear engineer, so I might defer to some of my colleagues on the details of that. But, certainly as more and more research goes into developing these smaller types of nuclear plants, the goal would be to improve costs, improve safety, and the like as well. But I think we're still, in the research stage before we can say they're ready to be deployed immediately.
Bob, thanks for the call. And next we go to Brandon joining us in Greenleaf. Brandon, hi.
Hello. Hey, I was just calling to comment on considering what options are there to get Kewaunee nuclear plant operational again to where it was, to get back up to like 22% before breaking ground on a new reactor. Just thoughts out there and what kind of process that would take. I know it was a public utility at one time, got sold to be a merchant plant, and they chose not to pursue generating power and selling it anymore. It wasn't cost-effective for the company, but just want your thoughts on that topic.
Sure, interesting. Thanks for that, Brandon. And what about just restarting the Kewaunee plant? If we're looking at reducing reliance on coal by 32% by 2030, how close does that get us if we simply restart the Kewaunee plant?
Well, that's timing would be critical on that. I think, right after it closed, there was some discussion about could someone else come in and operate the facility. Now you're moving into what they call a decommissioning phase, and that would probably make that much more difficult to just go in and sort of restart it. And it isn't something that you really can go in and just restart, let's just say, in a matter of weeks. I do think that, the decision could have been made at the time to see if someone else would come in and run the facility. The decision was made at the time to move it ahead into the decommissioning phase.
We're talking to Gary Radloff right now, a researcher, an energy researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, talking about the possibility of nuclear reactors, nuclear power in Wisconsin as an alternative to reduce reliance here on coal in the state and comply with some new EPA rules looking to reduce that by 32% by the year 2030. And also legislation to be aware of looking to lift a moratorium on building new nuclear reactors in Wisconsin. That legislation is scheduled, I think, for a vote, looking for some action at least in the next couple of weeks. And we're going to go next to Al in La Crosse. Al, hi.
Good afternoon. We can't afford to wait 10 years to implement these pie-in-the-sky scenarios of nuclear power generation when we are facing catastrophe from global warming and climate disruption. We have the technology, and we can't afford to divert enormous amount of capital into building these costly plants when we have cheaper, more effective ways of generating renewable power without the legacy of deadly nuclear waste.
All right, Al, appreciate your call. And Gary, true or false, we can't afford to wait 10 years?
Well, he's true in the sense that I think it is time to roll up our sleeves and start addressing this issue as a state and a nation. Obviously, we just had the Paris Accord where 190 nations have agreed to work on reducing greenhouse gases, CO2 emissions, as a global community. And the United States, the Environmental Protection Agency, has to enforce the Clean Power Act, the Clean Air Act, which is where the Clean Power Plan really gets its legal authority and its extension. So it is time to kind of roll up our sleeves and get to work on the issue. We certainly have many new technologies that are, improving and advancing and becoming cheaper all the time. I mean, we can take just, for example, using solar in combination with technologies that are being researched and developed here at this university, microgrids and energy storage systems. So that's something we could start working on today, obviously similarly with wind. But, the caller should also keep in mind that even with these new technologies, these clean energy technologies that are out there, there still is an investment involved. And to really get things up to a utility scale, obviously it's a bigger investment. So Again, I think he's right on the point of we need to get to work on this, but it also, I think, has to, you know, one has to think about a long-term strategy as well. If we can't achieve meeting our energy needs through energy efficiency, through existing technologies, then we need to continue to research other technologies and really consider all of our options.
Now, Gary, one of the arguments against nuclear power is disposal and the storage of nuclear waste. Have we solved that problem yet here in Wisconsin?
Well, no, in terms of the federal government was looking at creating a site for storage of the waste material. Currently, most facilities store on site, but we still certainly need a long-term solution to that here in the United States.
And Gary, as we wrap up, is there reason to be optimistic here, at least in the technological side of things, that clean energy technologies are getting more cost-effective? Cheaper, more efficient.
Well, absolutely. We've seen just a remarkable decline in the ability to install solar and wind as renewable technologies. And we need to continue that cycle of research and development and deployment and finding ways to make not only the existing technologies cheaper, but hopefully invent the technologies of the future.
Gary, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure.
That was Gary Radloff talking with us about Wisconsin's clean energy needs and how to meet them. He's a researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and the director of Midwest Energy Policy Analysis for the Wisconsin Energy Institute.